The Claude 3 model family by Anthropic is your one-stop shop for enterprise AI. Haiku is lightning fast and cost effective. Sonnet strikes the perfect balance between skills and speed. And Opus sets new industry benchmarks for intelligence. Learn more at anthropic.com/Claude.
The U.S. ramps up natural gas shipments to Europe as the continent hunts for new supplies. Plus, as President Biden visits Poland, we look at the country suddenly in a leading role as the West responds to Russia.
Poland has gone from being a country that was a bit isolated to being a country that is too important to isolate. And when you have 2 million refugees on your soil, you have a certain voice that you wouldn't otherwise.
And European lawmakers reach a deal on a sweeping new digital competition law. It's Friday, March 25th. I'm Luke Vargas with the Wall Street Journal. Here's the AM edition of What's News, the top headlines and business stories moving your world today. The U.S. is ramping up shipments of liquefied natural gas to Europe this year, as the continent hunts for new supplies around the globe to phase out its reliance on Russian gas after the invasion of Ukraine. President Biden was meeting with European Union leaders at a summit in Brussels, where crafting a transatlantic plan to slash Europe's purchases of Russian energy is a central topic. WSJ reporter Matthew Dalton has the latest on the announcement.
The plan is to deliver an additional 15 billion cubic meters of natural gas this year for Europe. That's above last year's level of 22 billion cubic meters, which is already a record high. So this is going to be quite helpful in weaning Europe off of Russian natural gas. But that process is going to take several years and will require additional supplies from a number of other natural gas producers, such as Qatar, Algeria, Angola, and Norway.
President Biden's next stop on his European visit is to Poland today. We'll have more on Poland's path to becoming a central player in the European response to Russia's invasion of Ukraine later in the show. We are exclusively reporting that President Biden, stepping back from a campaign vow, has embraced a long-standing U.S. approach of using the threat of a potential nuclear response to deter conventional and other non-nuclear dangers in addition to nuclear ones, U.S. officials said Thursday. U.S. officials tell the Journal that under pressure from allies, Biden is now leaving open the possibility that nuclear weapons could also be used to deter conventional, biological, chemical, and possibly cyber attacks in, quote, extreme circumstances. A spokeswoman for the President's National Security Council declined to comment. European lawmakers have reached agreement on the main points of a new digital competition law focused on the world's biggest tech companies. That sets the stage for one of the most sweeping pieces of technology regulation, the Digital Markets Act, to go into effect next year. WSJ European technology reporter Sam Schechner has the details.
For instance, Google and other big companies will have to refrain from giving special treatment to their own services in their search results. And it would also apply to product searches on Amazon. Another element of the law could force Apple to allow other ways to install apps on their iPhones, something called sideloading. And there's also obligations to allow users to very easily shift their data from one service to another.
Tech industry lobbyists say the law is discriminatory because it focuses largely on big U.S. tech companies and is unworkable because of its breadth, something they say will hobble tech innovation in Europe. And Apple's legal battle with Fortnite maker Epic Games continues. Apple said a judge's ruling that it was violating California's unfair competition law should be overturned because she had already found the iPhone maker's in-app payment system was competitive. Apple said the earliest it expects a decision is in the summer of 2023. Earlier this year, Epic laid out its argument for an appeal in the case, which mostly swung in Apple's favor. Dow Jones & Co., publisher of The Wall Street Journal, has a commercial agreement to supply news through Apple's services. Europe's economic recovery is slowing, according to newly released business surveys that show the war in Ukraine disrupting supply and sending costs soaring. For a look at what is going on, I'm joined by WSJ reporter Paul Hannon. Hey, Paul, welcome.
It's good to talk to you, Luke.
You are reporting on a number of data points that don't contain too much good news about the state of the European economy. How bad are things, and hasn't the lifting of some pandemic restrictions helped at all?
Well, you would be right in thinking that it is providing a little bit of a boost to the services part of the economy. There's no doubt about that. But it's being overshadowed by the impact from Russia's invasion of Ukraine, which has already hit the manufacturing sector, particularly automobile makers and chemical companies and any firm that's in the business of sort of supplying raw materials, energy, natural resources, that kind of territory, because they all have fairly significant links with those two countries.
Which other sectors in the European economy are feeling the pain here too?
The big thing that affects everyone, whether it's a business or a household, is energy costs. And they've rocketed since the invasion. Western Europe gets a lot of its energy in the form of natural gas that runs through pipelines that traverse Ukraine. And there has been a lot of speculation in energy markets that either Europe will decide to stop buying as much of that as it has to sort of punish Russia, or the Russians will cut off supplies to punish Europe for having imposed other sanctions. So these really high prices are making it much more difficult for companies across Europe to make a profit without themselves raising their prices. And of course, once you raise your prices, there are fewer people who are able to buy your product. So that, I think, is the main threat to the economic recovery in Europe right now. I mean, there are other issues around supplies of raw materials like nickel, for example, but the energy cost thing is the really big worry.
Right. And perhaps we should discuss that high energy prices, of course, don't just impact businesses.
No, far from it. It's also going to affect and has affected consumers across the Eurozone. Energy prices were rising even before the invasion, and they've jumped again since. So we saw a survey on Wednesday that showed that Eurozone consumers became a lot more gloomy about their prospects in early March. And that's down to sort of worries about the war. It's very reminiscent for many people here of the early stages of World War II, for example. I mean, maybe that's exaggerating things slightly, but that's what it's closest to in terms of the folk memory. And then the other worry is being able to pay your bills. I mean, energy costs are surging and people are genuinely worried about being able to heat their homes.
That was WSJ reporter Paul Hannon. Paul, thank you for the update.
You're welcome. Take care, Luke.
Coming up, as President Biden visits Poland, we'll hear from our reporter in Warsaw, who says Poland, after years of having its warnings about the threat of Russia ignored, is now in the driver's seat as the West shapes its response to the war in Ukraine. We'll have that story after the break.
The Claude 3 model family from Anthropic is your one-stop shop for enterprise AI. With models at every point on the price-performance curve, you no longer have to make trade-offs between intelligence, speed, and cost. Claude 3 Opus sets new industry benchmarks for intelligence. Sonnet strikes the perfect balance between skills and speed. And Haiku is the fastest and lowest-cost model on the market, perfectly designed for high-volume, high-speed use cases. Join the thousands of enterprises who trust Anthropic to keep them at the frontier. Visit anthropic.com/Claude today.
President Biden visits Poland today, a country that has taken on a leading role in diplomatic and military efforts to contain Russia. A longstanding ally of the U.S., Poland is also currently hosting more than 2 million Ukrainian refugees. And as WSJ reporter Drew Hinshaw reports, given Poland's history, it knows what it's like to stare down Russia. And Drew joins us now with more from Warsaw. Hey, Drew.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you. Could you recap some of the steps that Poland has taken since Russia's invasion of Ukraine that have basically turned it into a leader within Europe with respect to this crisis?
It's received the majority of the 3 million Ukrainians who have left Ukraine have come to Poland. So that gives it a bit of moral authority. It welcomed more than 2 million refugees in just the space of 4 weeks. A lot, if not the vast majority of the arms shipments going in to Ukraine are coming through Poland, over Polish roads. Poland is sending an enormous amount of weapons to Ukraine. Injured Ukrainian soldiers are evacuated to Polish hospitals. The Polish prime minister just a few days ago and the deputy prime minister both got on a train and went all the way to Kiev. They were some of the few Western leaders who've been willing to go visit President Zelensky in person in the middle of this gigantic war. So Poland has become the central player in the European Union and in NATO when it comes to confronting Russia on these issues.
A central player, and as you said earlier, one with some moral authority, which is quite a reversal from how some leaders, including even President Biden, viewed Poland until not that long ago, right?
That's right. On the campaign trail, then-candidate Biden listed Poland when he was talking about the rise of totalitarian regimes in the world. That was his quote. The ruling party here, which is quite nationalist, had purged some of their judiciary, and they were under fire for that. They were trying to kind of cement control over the media, and they were under fire for that. Ironically, they, who now have 2 million refugees that they're trying to kind of resettle, they were resisting pressure to receive refugees from Syria in 2015. So this has been quite a turn very quickly. Poland has gone from being a country that was a bit isolated to being a country that is too important to isolate when it comes to this massive war on its own borders.
And Poland has long been warning about the threat from Russia. Is there a sense of regret, perhaps, on the part of other European countries for maybe not listening to Poland and other Eastern European partners over the last few years?
That's exactly it. I think there's a lot of maybe the Poles had a point going around right now. For years, Poland said the same things, particularly to Germany. You're not spending enough on defense. You're buying too much Russian gas. You're naive about Putin. This is an imperialist Russian leader trying to recreate the Russian Empire as it's existed over centuries. And we need to see that clearly. For a long time, that sounded like Cold War paranoia to other Europeans. Well, now Poland seems like it had a point. It was prescient. And countries that resisted calls from Poland and, you know, in the U.S. too, to raise their defense spending are doing that. Germany's raising its defense spending. People who thought that Putin could be, you know, a partner, maybe we don't like him perfectly, but we've got no choice to be a partner, they're reassessing that quite quickly after this invasion.
As you write, Poland has a history of taking a stand against Moscow. Could you just explain a little bit about that history and what about it may be helping to inform how Poland is acting now?
Poland, twice in the 20th century, Poland dealt a blow to Moscow. The Soviet army invaded in 1920 and they were repelled. And then after the Second World War, Moscow imposed a communist regime on Poland. And in 1989, Poland became the first country to cast away communism in Europe and become a capitalist, free market, democratic society. And that transformation led directly to the collapse of the Soviet Union. After the Soviet Union fell, a lot of Western leaders thought, okay, good, we can be friends with Russia. Our enemy was never Russia, it was communism. Poland had a slightly different point of view. They felt like we were conquered under the Tsars, we were conquered under the Bolsheviks, we were conquered under the Soviet Union itself. They felt like the collapse of communism had not ended centuries of hostile relationship between Russia and its Western neighbors.
So just looking forward in terms of how Poland's role in this Ukraine crisis could continue to evolve, will Warsaw continue to be somewhat in the driver's seat in Europe?
At every meeting, every European meeting, Poland is advocating for the maximum level of sanctions. One advisor to the president put it very bluntly. He said, let's make the Russian economy autarkic. A total trade ban, cut them off completely. Poland wants at the most arms that we can get in. Let's get in as many arms as we can. Let's not worry about whether it provokes Putin or not. This is kind of the Polish position of just we need to make sanctions reach a level where the Russian economy truly grinds to a halt. And that includes not buying Russian gas. The rest of Europe isn't there. You know, the rest of Europe depends gravely on gas from Russia to heat its homes and power its factories. But they do have Poland in their ear saying we need to kind of dial this down immediately. And when you have 2 million refugees on your soil, you have a certain voice that you wouldn't otherwise.
That was WSJ reporter Drew Hinshaw joining us today from Warsaw. Drew, thank you so much.
Thanks for having me.
And finally, the Academy Awards are this Sunday. So what do Americans make of the Best Picture nominees? Well, none of the 10 movies nominated for this year's top award were top 10 at the box office last year, and two weren't even released to theaters. So WSJ computational journalist Brian Witten and a team of colleagues compiled tweets and Reddit posts, Google search activity, and the results of a morning consult poll we commissioned to create the WSJ Oscar rankings and find out which Best Picture nominee was actually the most popular. And the result?
Probably surprises no one that Dune is the most popular movie, according to the Wall Street Journal. The least popular is Drive My Car. I'm sorry for Drive My Car fans out there. Maybe it has something to do with the running time.
For context, Drive My Car was just under 3 hours long. Dune, a snappy 2:35. And that's What's News for Friday morning. We'll be back tonight with a new show. I'm Luke Vargas with The Wall Street Journal. Have a great weekend, and thanks for listening.
The Claude 3 model family by Anthropic is your one-stop shop for enterprise AI. Haiku is lightning fast and cost-effective. Sonnet strikes the perfect balance between skills and speed. And Opus sets new industry benchmarks for intelligence. Learn more at anthropic.com/Claude.